What is it about the television coverage of you in these past weeks and months that has so aroused your anger?
Don't get the impression that you aroused my anger.
You see, I have that impression.
You see, one can only be angry with those he respects.
Nobody had, at least as far as presidents go, a more adversarial relationship with the press than did Nixon. And with some justice, because Nixon clearly had some things to hide. When Nixon said that way back when to that journalist, it was considered beyond the pale. Really outside of what we generally expected from our presidents. Because remember, before Nixon, it hadn't been that long since we had had Kennedy as president. And Kennedy was a lot better to the press. He wasn't always necessarily happy with them either, but saw the press as an important thing. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, a democracy cannot be both ignorant and free.
You once said that you were reading more and enjoying it less. Are you still as avid a newspaper reader, magazine? I remember those of us who traveled with you on the campaign, a magazine wasn't safe around you.
Oh, it is. No. I think it's invaluable, even though it may cause you some... it's never pleasant to be reading things frequently that are not agreeable news, but I would say that it's an invaluable arm of the presidency as a check, really, on what's going on in administration. And more things come to my attention that cause me either concern or give me information. So I would think that Mr. Khrushchev, or operating a totalitarian system, which has many advantages as far as being able to move in secret and all the rest, there's a terrific disadvantage not having the abrasive quality of the press applied to you daily to an administration. When you have, even though we never like it, and even though we don't, even though we wish they didn't write it, and even though we disapprove, there isn't any doubt that we couldn't do the job at all in a free society without a very, very active press.
When the media is being critical of you, it's obviously never a fun thing, and obviously I will likely never know the scrutiny that comes with that high office. But for someone to get there and still say, you know what, I don't like it, but it's so important, and it should be there. And free speech, and this is what I'm always told, especially by conservatives, free speech, no matter what you want to say, free speech is covered. Whenever they have their white power rallies, they say, hey, they don't call it a white power rally. They call it a free speech rally. It's a free speech rally, free speech. Whenever they say free speech, right, it's generally one of their white power rallies. And that's fine. That speech, however fortunate or unfortunate, is protected by the First Amendment. There are very few limits on free speech. Obviously, you don't get to yell fire in a crowded theater. You don't get to say that you want to kill the president. There are some reasonable limits to free speech, but by and large, we have it, and it's out there, and we can say what just about anything that we want, and it's wonderful. It's one of the things that I talk a lot on this program about Europe, some of the contrast between us and Europe. And with them, they don't have a First Amendment. They don't have the kind of free speech that we have. And when Trump became president, he expressed some concern about that. He goes, you know, in Europe, you can sue for libel. Somebody writes something he says untrue. Somebody writes something untrue about you. And he said that was his concern, is that it was just so untrue, the things that are being written about him. He says, you can sue them for libel. He says, I think that we should have that kind of thing here. We don't have that kind of thing here. So the way our journalism tends to work tends to be more market-based. If you write something that is not true, then maybe people won't rely on you as a news source anymore. Or maybe you like untrue things, such as the case for anybody following Fox News or Alex Jones. And if people don't like what you're putting out there, then they will simply stop supporting it. Ladies and gentlemen, Thank you for being here on The Fire You Can't Put Out, episode number 230. My name is Melvin, and I'm on this mic, and I'm so glad that you're here. And today, I suppose the focus of the news is me, kind of, but not really. This show is a podcast. I don't broadcast on a regular radio station right now. I have tried to get on regular radio stations in the past, and there's just not that many of them that are locally owned that do a lot of local programming anymore. But the radio format, I love this format. I still spend several hours a week, you know, sometimes up to like a dozen hours a week, just messing around in my studio and doing radio stuff. I just love this thing. And I make no money on this show. And for the time being, I'm okay with that. It's going to get kind of taxing in the, you know, upcoming years because I've got this other business that I run now. But for as long as I can do it, I plan on being here because I just love this format. But not being able to get on a regular radio station, I went ahead and just built a studio in my home and I make a podcast because that's what you do when you love something. I heard Neo say recently, they said, Neo, when you get an artist, how do you know? How do you know that you really got, say, a workhorse on your head? Somebody's really going to, you know, he says, if they come in with the talent, but how do you know you're going to you have someone that's really going to stick with it? And Neo says, I say to them, if there were no money and there were no fame in this, would you still do it? And of course, the answer for me is yes, because I just love it. The reason radio changed the way that it is because of the Telecommunications Act of 1996, which of course changed ownership rules. See, you used to only be able to own so many stations in any given market, and you couldn't own, say, thousands of stations in hundreds of markets. One guy owning hundreds or thousands of stations in all these markets, and then homogenizing all of those stations. The Telecommunications Act was supposed to blow it wide open, free markets and all the rest, right? That's what we were told, but that's not what it did. It changed ownership rules, and now you've got just a handful of owners for tens of thousands of stations. And they go, you know what? We're going to program them all to do the same damn thing. No more local programming. Who cares? And they take syndicated shows. You got to be a massive name. Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly. Well, not so much Bill O'Reilly anymore. And those kind of people get on the air. Thousands of stations. You know, Brian Kilmeade has a show. Thousands of stations. You know, and that's the kind of stuff that gets on. I feel like if there were a local station, I'd be able to get on. The reason the conservatives pushed for that so much is because they don't like media. And they don't like to hear this chorus of voices. Because that chorus of voices is usually speaking out against them, against conservative policies. Because people in general do not like conservative policies. I cannot name a single bill that was passed by the Republicans that benefits the middle class. In the entire existence of the Republican Party, I can't name, and obviously I'm biased, so if you can think of one, get at me. Can't think of a single one ever passed. Oh, for Democrats? How about the 40-hour work week? How about workplace protections? How about weekends? You know, food laws, you know, food safety laws, drug safety laws, you know, these things are generally passed, you know, almost entirely by Democrats or left-leaning individuals. Conservatives, I can't think of a single thing that they've ever pushed that helps regular people, that helps the middle class. So we in the media put this stuff and we go, hey, these guys aren't doing a good job. And we try to hold them to account and let everybody know what these folks are doing. And Rupert Murdoch learned this a long time ago. It was just why he started buying up all this media. So the Nixon problem. When Nixon was involved in all this crooked stuff, he had Roger Ailes, who used to run Fox News before he died. And Roger Ailes said, hey, I think it'd be a fantastic idea. Those of you that have been listening to this program for a while, you've heard this story, but it begs retelling. Roger Ailes said, man, wouldn't it be great if we just had a news station that only gave our side, gave our point of view? And Nixon agreed with him. And they always talked about it, and it was to be called GOP TV. But, of course, Rupert Murdoch learned of this story when he decided to start Fox News. And when he started Fox News, he scooped up Roger Ailes right away, the guy who used to work for Nixon, and said, yeah, you know what? I think that's a fantastic idea. Let's do that. And now Murdoch owns media around the world. And he does it not because he loves news, because he loves journalism. Truth be told, he hates it, effing hates it. But he knows that he needs to control people's minds, control people's moods. You know, turn people against each other so that we're fighting against one another and not talking about the things that are really going on. Nixon got impeached, and the GOP said, we are never going to have that happen ever again. The adversarial relationship the conservatives have had with the media is nothing new. It's always been. With the internet, though, the internet became a little bit of an equalizer for us, because folks like me go ahead and set up a studio on our house, make a podcast, turn on our webcam, put out a video, and everybody can create media. We've got things called YouTube stars now. YouTube stars! The bloody hell is that? 20 years ago, that wasn't even a thing. But it is now, because of the internet. Understand this about the internet. We, the United States, created the internet. We, you and I. This was a military thing. This was a military communications channel. And it just expanded so that everybody could use it. And then expanded into commerce and all these other things. And yeah, we spent a lot of money to do it. But it's private industry that has taken it and expanded upon it, given us the internet that we have now. But the internet is governed by the FCC. FCC, most people think about in other things such as, say, radio, of course, the kind of radio that I'm on. But the FCC also covers television, and it also covers the internet. It's been a dream for the conservatives for some time to shut down the internet, because it is a bit of an equalizer. Anyone can get on, and if you can get an audience, you can get a message out there. If you can be entertaining enough, create a funny enough meme, a funny enough YouTube video, you can put it out there. It's democracy in media, and I love it. I think it's fantastic. And of course, there's always drawbacks. Conservatives put out videos about how Obama's not born here, and about how the liberals are coming to take our guns, and about how Sandy Hook isn't real. Yeah, but guess what? That's democracy. That's you're going to have those voices too, because those folks have fingers and a few dollars, so they can go scoop themselves up a computer, and this technology is more affordable than it's ever been. So more people have it now than they ever have. And you've got it in your pocket too. You've got it in your freaking phone. And you can just flip out, pull out your phone, turn on the camera, and just start talking to the world. I don't always like the things that are on the internet, but I'm so glad that it's there. And when it comes to the internet, your ISP, they can charge you based on bandwidth. They can charge you based on speed, but they can't charge you based on what you're doing. I remember when I moved in with my dad back in 1995, and I'd lived with my mom for all the previous years. I was only going to live with my dad for this one year because it was my final year of high school. And I remember saying to him, Dad, I'd like to call my mom every so often. And he'd go, okay, just don't make that call between the hours of, I think it was 8 and 6 p.m., 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. He says, because those are business hours. He says, a phone call costs more during that time. So if you call her early or call her after dinner. And I said, what? He says, yeah, because they charge you more during that time. Because businesses make a lot of calls during that time. And of course, the justification that phone companies had was the capacity, the amount of phone calls that were going through at that time, so they could charge more. And this was obviously for a long distance call. I was in Washington and my mother was in California. And so I said, okay, I could do that. So the phone company was able to charge you based on distance. And to some degree, because it's a long distance phone call, they could also charge you what during what time that you made it. Because if you made just a regular local call during that time, it didn't cost more money. It was all included. So they could charge you based on what you need, your long distance service, you know, things of that nature. But they can't charge you based on what you're doing. They can't say, oh, you're calling mom? Well, that phone call's a penny a minute. Oh, you're calling and ordering a couch or whatever the hell, you know, from QVC or, well, that's going to cost a dollar a minute. I mean, they couldn't charge you based on what you're doing. They had to charge you. They could charge you how, you know, for things that were extra, like long distance, because that's really far away. That call cost more to make, but they couldn't charge you based on what you were doing, because it was treated as a utility and regulated as such. And the phone companies didn't like it, but they went ahead and put up with it because they were still making money hand over fist. So the internet, imperfect analogy, I'm with it, but follow me. So the internet works in the same way. They can charge you based on your bandwidth. They can charge you based on speed, but they can't charge you based on what you're doing because of something called net neutrality. This was a term that was coined back in 2003 by a professor. They said you can't charge people based on what they're doing. And conservatives in general, certainly the politicians and billionaires, the billionaire backers of the GOP, they have always hated this rule. They've always hated net neutrality. Because just like with unions and with voting, It's a democracy, and they don't like it. Everybody's involved, right? And they're exchanging messages back and forth, sharing pictures and videos, and sometimes those videos are critical of conservatives, and they don't like that. Comcast especially doesn't like it. I've gotten in trouble with them, tweeting at them all the time about how awful I think Comcast is. And yeah, I'll say it here again: Comcast is the worst company in the whole wide world. And of course, they tweet back at me, and they try. What's the problem, sir? We value our customers very much. Blah blah blah. The same old line. But by and large, conservatives have not liked the fact that we have an open internet. Of course, conservatives like you and me, working class conservatives, they've said yes. They've used the internet the same way that I do, and that everyone else does. And they've went ahead and used the open internet forum. But conservative politicians, conservative media owners, these billionaire backers of the GOP, they don't particularly care for that dang interwebs because too many people talking back and forth about what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? So they would really like for it to not be that way. Back during 2014, when Obama was still president, the head of the FCC at that time was a gentleman named Tom Wheeler. And Tom Wheeler wanted to get rid of net neutrality. And he said, and Obama said, well, I'm not so sure people are going to be hot on that. So as is standard at the FCC, they had a comment period. And during the comment period, it was overwhelming, absolutely overwhelming. It's like 80-90% of people said, keep the internet wide open. Right, there's always going to be that 20%. Those 20%, I imagine, those are the Trump backers, the dip dongs and morons. And so Tom Wheeler, much as he wanted to close the internet, he said, okay, when you beat, you beat. And he kept the internet open. And Tom Wheeler was a Republican, but he listened. He listened to the people. And although it's not what he wanted, democracy in action. He listened to what everyone said. I can't tell you how many times I went to the FCC and commented to keep the internet open, you know, to keep it as a Title I utility is what they refer to it as, or Title II. And once that battle was won, we all collectively balled our fists and threw them in the air, and we've won net neutrality. Democracy reigns once again. Yay, yay, yay. But then came the 2016 election. And we decided that Trump, Hillary, oh, God, I can't vote for Hillary. I'm going to vote for Jill Stein, which is a vote for Trump. Or I'm going to vote for Trump, which is also a vote for Trump. I know, that one's crazy. And we go, well, how bad could it be? Really, how bad could it be? Days that our president has gone without being an absolute national embarrassment sits at a nice ripe zero right now. Just the worst possible. But the pendulum swings on this particular thing. The presidency, leadership, the pendulum swings. This is another one of those unfortunate sides of democracy. Well, I understand that part's debatable because he didn't win the popular vote, so on, so on, so forth. But even still, even with that, I mean, the pendulum is going to swing on this particular thing. We move to the left, we move to the right. We move to the left, we move to the right. The country isn't made up of just one type of person and one type of party. It's made up of all these people, the melting pot and all the rest, right? So we've swung hard to the right. But we really should have had a Hillary, but we don't. So how bad could it get? The president gets to pick the head of the FCC. And this president decided to bring in Ajit Pai. Get that name in your head. Ajit Pai. Ajit Pai. Who is Ajit Pai? If you've not been a longtime listener of this show, let me introduce a new term to you. Regulatory capture. That's when you take people from the industry that is supposed to be being regulated, and you put them in the regulatory position to allow them to regulate or not regulate that particular industry. In this case, Ajit Pai was a Verizon lawyer, used to argue for them in court all the time, used to work for Verizon. So he gets plucked from Verizon, and Verizon wants to get rid of the open internet. They want to get rid of net neutrality. They and Comcast, those are the two leading the charge right now. Comcast, I mean, some of the other ISPs want to get rid of it too, but the two leading the charge are Verizon and Comcast. Quick note about Verizon. Verizon was the last, there's four major carriers, T-Mobile, AT&T, Verizon, and Sprint. Those are your four majors. And, of course, there's smaller ones that branch off of those. But Verizon was the very, very last one to offer unlimited mobile internet. Everyone else had moved because they've always metered people. But as the networks have gotten better, more and more the other companies, Sprint and T-Mobile and AT&T, they've began offering pretty regularly with just about any phone plan unlimited internet. Now, there are certain restrictions, but by and large, it's wide open. But Verizon was the last because they admitted the reason why was because they didn't have the capacity and they didn't want to put the money into the company's infrastructure to expand, to give people the ability to have unlimited mobile internet. They wanted to keep it limited, charge you per gig and all the rest, and really just make a lot of money. But the marketplace, what it is, they had to start offering unlimited internet, but with far more restrictions than the other ones have, and at a far higher price. And they don't really like that. And then so now, but they also offer home internet. And they don't like how wide open the internet is. They would really, really like it if VerizonSucks.com did not exist. And so Ajit Pai goes to work for the Trump administration. And he's doing the bidding for his bosses. And after he gets rid of net neutrality, and this happens all the time, is once he gets rid of net neutrality, he's going to quit the job likely, or quit the job at the end of Trump's tenure, and then go back and work for Verizon again, but this time at, say, 10 times the pay. This happens all the time in regulatory capture. So they want rid of the open internet. Ajit Pai comes in, and he says, you know what? We're going to get rid of the open internet. It wasn't even 3 years ago that we fought for net neutrality, and we won net neutrality, and it's pretty clear that we want it. So Ajit Pai, just like Tom Wheeler did, says he's going to go ahead and he is going to have a comment period, an open comment period. And then this happens. This from Salon.com, the headline, at least 1.3 million comments opposed to net neutrality were likely fake. Consumers have written letters to the FCC, quoting here, and claimed that their names or addresses were used in comments that they had not written. Some were even listed as having come from people that are deceased. This, according to the Washington Post. Data scientist Jeff Cao wrote in a post on Medium that according to his research, there were at least 1.3 million comments in favor of repealing net neutrality rules. It was peculiar chilling to see these spam comments all in one place, he wrote, as they are the exact type of policy arguments and language you expect to see in an industry comment on the proposed repeal, or these days in the FCC commissioner's own statements lauding the repeal. In his finding, Cao wrote, one pro-repeal spam campaign used mail merge to disguise 1.3 million comments as grassroots submissions. So for the comment period, Ajit Pai went ahead and injected. And remember, he's a lawyer, but he's a tech guy too. So he's got people that can do this for him. Went ahead and injected 1.3 million fake comments into the comment section. And when it comes to this particular thing, the FCC doesn't necessarily go through and read every single comment. They've got computers that scan for keywords, and they say, this many people want this, this many people want this. You know, they can't read every single comment. It would take decades, you know, because there's, you know, millions of comments. They inject all these fake ones, and then they print out the numbers, and they go, oh, look how many people would like us to get rid of net neutrality. I keep a board in my room of headlines and quotes and things that I really like looking back on, things that remind me of things. They're not all good. You know, some of them are headlines that are particularly frightening, but I put them in front of me so that I can always look at them, refer back to them, remember the feelings that I got when I read them. And one of the first headlines that I read after Trump became president, the headline goes like this: one of Trump's first moves, the end of an open internet.
We're losing a lot of people because of the internet, and we have to do something. We have to go see Bill Gates and a lot of different people that really understand what's happening. We have to talk to them, maybe in certain areas, closing that internet up in some way. Somebody will say, oh, freedom of speech, freedom of speech. These are foolish people. We have a lot of foolish people. We have a lot of foolish people. We've got to maybe do something with the internet.
He tells no lies. We have a lot of foolish people. We've got the folks that voted for him because they really thought that he were going to do something for him, or he was going to do something for them. Of course, we've got him, who can't seem to open his mouth without diarrheaing from it. But he made no bones about this. He does not care for the First Amendment. He does not care for free speech. He does not care for an open internet.
President Trump is ramping up his feud with NBC News. The AP's Sagar Murgani is at the White House.
The president's pushing back against two recent NBC News stories, both revolving around a Pentagon meeting over the summer. The network reported today that the president then told military officials he wanted a sharp increase in the U.S. nuclear arsenal. It earlier reported that after the same meeting, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson called the president a moron. The president tweets today the nuclear story is pure fiction, adding, with all of the fake news coming out of NBC and the networks, at what point is it appropriate to challenge their license? Bad for country. Sagar Meghani at the White House.
He's not really worried about the country. He's not really worried about fake news. He's worried about news that's critical of him. So he'd very much like to shut down some of those pipelines. If he could, he'd get rid of everybody that is not Fox News or Alex Jones. So if they get rid of net neutrality, what does that mean? That means you will be charged based on what you do on the internet. They'll say, okay, if you want to do email, then that's included in, say, your basic package. If you want to share some photos, that's maybe included in your basic package. You want to share videos, well, that's another package. Oh, you want to do Netflix? That's another package. You want to look at news sites? Oh, well, that's another package. And of course, they'll be able to control which internet sites that you see. Right now, it is illegal for them to block internet sites. It's not their job. if an internet is operate, or excuse me, if a website is operating and doing something illegal in America, and they're writing about it and they're putting videos of it on the internet, then of course the authorities can go in and shut that person down because they're committing a crime on camera. But Comcast can't do that. AT&T can't do that. You know, Verizon can't do that. Not their job. But I'll tell you what, and I don't know if this website exists, VerizonSucks.com, ComcastSucks.com, those sites aren't going to be there anymore because they don't particularly like those sites. They don't want you to see those sites. And let's say that once we lose net neutrality, okay, and we'd be losing it because we don't really want to get rid of it. Well, you wouldn't know that from the way we voted for president, but most of us don't want to get rid of net neutrality. We don't want to get rid of the open internet. But let's say that we do lose our open internet and these news sites start reporting about the fast and the slow lanes and all the websites that are being blocked by your internet company. Well, your internet company will just block those news sites, so you can't see those news stories. What the United States Republican Party has longed for some time, as much as they've feigned outrage about it, is they want our internet to be just like China's. In China, you cannot Google Tiananmen Square. They don't want you to know. You cannot Google news that is critical of their president. He doesn't want you to see it. You know, you can't Google about this. I mean, nothing that the government doesn't want you to know. So for those of you that are concerned about the government conspiracies, if you really believe that stuff, government conspiracies, I got this information that only I'm privy to, and it's the dang gum government doing. Well, if the government really is doing those things, the government will simply be able to block the sites where you see and read about those kinds of things. Even you, Mr. Trump voter, even you want an open internet so that you can continue sharing lies with your friends. So they'll be able to charge you based on what you do. And they're only going to let you do what they want you to do. And you say, well, come on, Mel. It's in their best interest to not do that. But a lot of people aren't paying attention right now. They're just all of a sudden going to notice that their internet is going to skyrocket, maybe double or triple. For what I have right now, I've got 100 meg internet. Okay, that's pretty good. It's not a gigantic house. I got about a 2400 square foot house. And that covers everybody. It covers all the TVs in the house. It covers the studio here, tablets, phones, all the rest. It's all covered by that. And it's okay. It's not great. But whenever I have a problem with it, Comcast has by far and away the worst customer service in the entire world, on top of having the worst company in the entire world. But once, and I pay probably $90 a month, and that's another outrage. I'll get to that in a minute. But once I get rid of net neutrality, well, I might pay double or triple because, you know, you want to go to VerizonSucks.com. America has some of the slowest internet in the world, in both mobile internet and home internet. And here's why. Because we've got what are controlled, or what are supposed to be controlled monopolies, regulated monopolies. This is what happened with the phone company. Generally only have one phone company in your town. And in most places, you generally only have one internet company because of the regulations that don't let in the smaller players and protect all the large players. And that's a problem in and of itself. That's a flaw in and of itself. But in places like Europe, where they do not have the First Amendment, they have something very different. So for your mobile phone and for your home phone and for your internet and your cable, depending on what part of Europe you're in, for all of them, you will generally pay $30 or $40 a month for all of them. Contrast that with the fact that I am paying about $90 a month for my 100 meg internet. And not only will you pay less than half of what I pay to get all of those things, the internet will be faster, much faster. A lot of it is gig internet. So that's 10 times faster than what I'm getting now. So why do we have what we have, and why do they have what they have? We do not have competition. This is another thing that conservatives love to bark about. Competition, competition, competition. But the regulation that we have right now kills competition. And in Europe, that wire that comes into your house, everyone's got the same wire coming into their house. And there are dozens of internet companies that are fighting for your business. And so the prices keep dropping and dropping and dropping. So we've got four major mobile companies right now. And then there are a bunch of small ones that break off of them. But because there's so many cell phone companies, recently I think it was AT&T tried to buy T-Mobile. And it's a good thing that deal didn't go through, because if it did, it would have cut the number of companies in the market, and we all would have simply paid more for mobile service. And we don't now, because we have just as many companies as we had before. And if you've noticed over the years, the price of cell service has been dropping precipitously. It wasn't that unheard of even a couple years ago. If you had, you know, your phone plan and your 2 gig data plan for two phones, like say you and your wife or whatever, to pay $150 a month. Now it's not unheard of to get both of those lines with unlimited calling and unlimited internet for say $80. I see ads for it all the time. We've got four people on a family plan, four, okay? And we're on T-Mobile. We all have unlimited internet, unlimited talking, text and all this stuff. And taxes and fees included, $100. That's all we pay. And that's pretty freaking good. But if we had less competition, obviously, those prices would go upwards. So I know I rant forever about this stuff. I believe in this stuff. And even when democracy is not fun, even when it is not favorable to me, I think that it should still be there. I think everybody, if you live in America, regardless of where you were born or if you're a natural citizen, if you're affected, you're going to be affected by the things that our politicians do. So I believe that you should get to vote no matter what. Well, Melvin, all those people voting, what if they all vote Republican? Then they all vote Republican. Fine. Then I'm just going to have to learn to live with that. But my problem now is the conservatives are fighting to keep people away from voting, fighting to keep people out of the marketplace. And that's what I don't like. And I don't care if you agree with me or not. I want you to have a voice. I want you to have a voice when you vote. I want you to have a voice in the workplace, talking about workplace unions. I want you to have a voice on the internet. I want you to be able to give your dumb white power rally in downtown or whatever the hell you're into. Fine. Because even when it's not pretty, I would much rather have the free speech than not have it. So here's what's happening right now. On the 14th of December, and this is why I fought to put this, worked really hard on this show this week. I haven't even gotten to all the stories. I pulled about a dozen stories for this and I just ranted, but I feel like I'm still getting a lot of my information out. On December 14th, there's going to be a vote at the FCC about whether they should get rid of net neutrality or not. And the timing of this is not an accident. They announced that there's going to be a December 14th vote to get rid of net neutrality, right? Breaking something that isn't broken. That's effectively what this is, breaking something that isn't broken. The internet is fine now. It could be made better, but what they want to do is break it. And they announced it after Thanksgiving, over the long Thanksgiving break, because they figure nobody's paying attention to the news, but you don't know us, and we are paying attention to the news. And we saw what you said, and the comment period has already been going crazy. So they're going to have their vote on the 14th, and Ajit Pai said he's going to do what his bosses at Verizon want him to do. And so you need to make your voice heard. You need to get on FCC.gov and you need to make your voice heard. You need to let them know that you want to keep the internet open. You need to go to battleforthenet.com. And for most of, I hope, this is usually when I make these shows, I make them so that you can listen to them at any time. You can listen to them when it comes out on Monday. You can listen to it a month from now. You can listen to it a year from now, and the information is still going to be just as good. But this show for me is one of the rare shows where only if you listen to this show when it comes out is it going to be as important. Because on December 7th, put that on your calendar as well, December 7th, and you can go to battleforthenet.com. There's going to be a day of protest. Melvin, where are the protests happening? The protests are happening at Verizon stores. Now, if I'm not mistaken, December 7th is, I think it's a Wednesday or a Thursday. So I'm hoping that I don't work that day. I think the protests are going to be going on all day. So I got my job during the day. If I don't have a job that I have to do at night, I plan on going to one of these protests. Because, yeah, I think Verizon, this is their lawyer. This is their guy. They need to hear from us. The damn internet needs to stay open. There's no reason that it shouldn't, except the fact that they don't like hearing from us. Portugal recently got rid of their open internet. So we know what it looks like. And in Portugal, they've got fast and slow lanes, and they're blocking Facebook, and they're blocking Netflix, and they want you to pay more for those things, and they're blocking YouTube, and yeah, and they're blocking sites that are critical of the government. This is from flscience.com. So we know what happens when you get rid of the internet, and it's not pretty. And we also know that if they successfully get rid of net neutrality, we know what it's going to look like, because even when we said that we wanted to keep the open internet and Obama was president, people made themselves heard. There are still tons of cases, Comcast Corporation versus FCC and Verizon versus the FCC. And if you just plug in court cases involving net neutrality into Google, all of these cases will come up because all of these ISPs have been going to court for years to get rid of the open internet because, my God, they really don't like that it's there. So we know what they're going to do. So what is Comcast saying about this? Comcast is saying, and I remember back in 2014, because Comcast owns NBC, which of course owns MSNBC. And I'm a big fan of Miss Rachel Maddow. And I noticed that when this was going on way back when, and Maddow talks about everything. She's a pretty fearless journalist. I noticed that when this came up way back when, she didn't talk about this. And I found that very curious. And then, of course, I figured it out. I said her show, you know, on MSNBC, NBC, owned by Comcast, they don't want her talking about this. But recently, I think she colored outside the lines and went ahead and decided to talk about this. And she talked about Verizon's statement, and she said, Verizon's statement goes like this, and I'm paraphrasing. Verizon is committed to net neutrality. They like net neutrality. They're not opposed to it. But what they are opposed to is a law that binds their hands that tells them they have to do it. So what the hell does that mean? That means they don't like it. They would like to get rid of net neutrality now. There's an article over at arstechnica.com. The headline reads, Comcast hints at plan for paid fast lanes after net neutrality repeal. They're already planning for it. They already think that this is going to happen. Verizon, Comcast, they're already planning for the fact that this is going to happen. And they go, well, Melvin, how about this? States' rights. Now, follow me here. The internet is a federal government creation. The United States federal government. We paid for it. We created it. But the whole world uses it. And in America, it's largely governed, for the amount that it is governed, by the feds. You say, Melvin, perhaps if net neutrality gets passed, or we lose net neutrality, maybe what we could just do at that point is throw it back to the states, right? This is what conservatives always push for. They say, we could just simply throw it back to the states, okay? And they can write their own laws. And then maybe we can have, you know, I live in Washington or Oregon or California, the left coast. We We can simply have our own laws. What is going to be written? And remember, the FCC is a federal agency. What's going to be written into the new laws when they get rid of net neutrality is that the states cannot write their own net neutrality laws. They have to abide by the federal law, by that which is written by the FCC. This from TheVerge.com. The commission intends to block any laws and regulations that effectively impose rules or requirements that we have repealed or decided to refrain from imposing in this order, or that would impose more stringent requirements for any aspect of broadband service that we address in this order. The FCC says it would be too much of a burden on internet providers. So all that states' rights crap that the conservatives push, yeah, by and large, they don't really believe in it. And they most certainly don't for this. They'd like to get rid of the open internet for everybody. And they'd like everybody to follow the same damn law. And boy, oh boy, they do not want you going to ComcastSucks.com.
We will have so much winning if I get elected that you may get bored with winning. Believe me, I agree. You'll never get bored with winning. We never get bored.
The real problem for politicians like the GOP, the Republican Party, Trump himself, the real problem is the internet is wide open and it keeps calling them on their BS. It points out the lies. It points out the tweets. I'm sure it sticks in his craw that the Washington Post keeps and regularly promotes the part of their website where they track every lie that the president is telling. And he's telling just under a dozen lies a day right now. And so the number's up to like 2,000 lies since he became president. And of course, they've got a count of how many times he lied before he became president. I'm sure that he really does not like that. So if he could just say block or slow down the Washington Post website, he would really like to do that. But you know what you could do instead, Mr. President, is you could simply stop lying.
And Trump Organization personnel, stop lying to news organizations. We catch you when you do it.
And that's the problem. The fact that they get caught, that's the problem. They really don't like that. They would like for that to go away. So we've got the Roy Moore election coming up in a couple of weeks. And if the polls are to be believed, the voters in Alabama have said that they would very much, now hit the poll numbers for Roy Moore drop for a little while, but they're back up for Roy Moore. The voters of Alabama said that they would much rather have a pedophile be their senator than have some soft-on-crime Democrat. And the reason he's considered soft-on-crime is because he convicted the KKK of killing four little girls. That was him. That case in Alabama, the church bombing, he's the guy who convicted them all. He convicted three of them. He wasn't able to convict the fourth one because the fourth one died, but he convicted three of the bombers, and they call him soft on crime. So the voters of Alabama said they'd really, really, really much rather have a child molester than some soft-bellied Democrat. But all these cases, these women keep coming out and saying, yeah, when I was a teenager, Roy Moore showed me his wang. Roy Moore pinched my bottom. Roy Moore chased me around the Gadsden Mall. Roy Moore tried to do all these gross things to me when he was in his 30s and I was a teenager. So in comes Project Veritas. And Project Veritas, that's James O'Keefe's organization. If you don't remember who James O'Keefe is, he was at that time a young activist, a young Republican activist who really does not like the media and really does not like the fact that you have the right to vote. And when President Obama won in 2008, and it turned out that Acorn helped register a lot of people to vote. And then those huge numbers turned out. And, of course, Barack Obama won. Well, James O'Keefe decided that he really did not like that. Remember, these folks have a problem with democracy. And so he went ahead and dressed like a cartoon pimp. This is real. Dressed like a cartoon pimp. Walked into an Acorn office with two scantily dressed ladies and tried to sell those ladies to Acorn. It's an insanely bizarre story. And they, of course, on video, went ahead and played along for a little while. Who is the cartoon pimp with the ladies on his arm? And then after James O'Keefe left, they called the police. And they said, hey, we just had a guy in here trying to sell two girls to us. And he was dressed like a cartoon pimp. But James O'Keefe took his hidden video and heavily edited it and took it to all the conservative organizations. And it was played around the clock, shared on Facebook and all these different sites and Twitter and YouTube. And then, of course, blast on Fox News and InfoWars. And yeah, InfoWars was around at that time. And then Acorn gets shut down because of this heavily edited video. And they say, well, Acorn's obviously involved in illegal stuff. Look at this video. Look at this video. The whole world sees the video. But then O'Keefe got busted because we found the original video. He got busted for heavily editing that video. So proving he had to lie. To make his case, he had to lie. And I say, if you have to lie to make your case, should you really be making your case? I don't have to lie to make any damn case. And if I have to lie, I'm not going to do it. It's just, I can't remember my lies. So I don't like to lie. But Acorn, the Republicans went to, you know, into Congress with this video, and they go, God dang it, we got to shut down Acorn. Acorn's obviously, you know, breaking laws and buying women from cartoon pimps. We got to shut down Acorn. So Congress, the Republicans in Congress, wrote all these bills to get rid of Acorn. In 2010, Republicans took over Congress in a big way. That was the big Tea Party wave. And they completely defunded Acorn. And Acorn no longer exists. They don't. And every year, this is not a joke, every year the Republicans pass another bill to defund Acorn. Acorn hasn't been an organization in like 6 years. But every year they pass a bill to defund Acorn again, just ceremoniously, just because they love doing it so much. There's no Acorn that exists anymore, but they still write defund Acorn into laws because they just hate it so much. So Mr. O'Keefe is at it again. And this time, Mr. O'Keefe decided to send a woman to meet with the Washington Post, a woman that was 41, if I'm not mistaken. I think her name's Janice. And she calls up the Washington Post and she says, yeah, I too have a Roy Moore story. Of course she didn't. And so the Washington Post decides to go ahead and meet with her. And they sit down with her and there's a camera recording the whole conversation. And she's sitting there and she's telling her story. And, you know, she's obviously just, she's acting. She wasn't really touched by Roy Moore. And she was lying to the Washington Post. But what Project Veritas, James O'Keefe's organization, was hoping was that Washington Post would run the story, would run this fake story, so that Project Veritas can go, aha, fake story, fake news, look at them reporting. And if Project Veritas can say with our sting operation, we prove that they're fake news, maybe all those other women that accused Roy Moore are lying as well. And you can't trust the Washington Post at all. But of course, the sting backfired. And the Washington Post did their due diligence and found out that the woman was lying. And they never ran with the story. But they did run with the story that Project Veritas tried to catch them in a sting. And the sting backfired. And eventually even Project Veritas had to say, yeah, we were stupid. Oops, we shouldn't have done that. Sorry. Whoopsie poopsie. It backfired. And so this is the thing. It isn't about truth. And it isn't about you. It's about controlling information. When Trump lies, he's not lying because he's trying to convince you. When he lies, he's lying to assert power. He's trying to render reality irrelevant. And if they're able to get rid of the open internet, they will be able to do that. Trump lies. It's going to be a lot harder to Google what he lied about because all of the sites that would have told you the truth are likely going to be blocked. And that's what they want. When they own the media, they own radio shows and TV shows and networks and newspapers, and they want to control the media. They want to control what you see. They want to control what you read. They want our internet to be not unlike that of China's. They want to control what you see. They want to control what you think. They want to control what you buy. They want to control what you drink. They want to control what you... They want to control you. And that's the only thing that will be achieved by getting rid of the open internet. So please, join me on December 7th. Go to battleforthenet.com and look up all the places that the protests are going to be happening at Verizon stores. I don't expect you to stand in front of a Verizon store by yourself. Hopefully, there's going to be enough people to stand in front of every single Verizon store. And call up the FCC and tell them what you think. And here's another thing. I forgot to cover this. Ajit Pai, I believe he's Indian. He's got brown skin. And there's a ton of people that are attacking Ajit Pai right now and being racist towards him and his children. Don't do that. Don't be racist. Do not call him bad names, brown people names. Don't do that. That's not going to help us make our case. That gives Verizon, the FCC, and the Trump administration a boogeyman. They say, see all these racists? We have to block them. We got to get rid of the open internet so they can't operate out there anymore. Don't be racist. Call your senators. Call the FCC. Go on the comment line. Be very matter of fact. Just simply say, and don't run on forever like I did during this show. Just say that you are in favor of an open internet. The internet needs to stay open. Don't close it. Don't create fast and slow lanes. And then join us in front of the Verizon stores on December 7th to protest against Verizon, because this is their lawyer. And then, of course, all the calls and emails and all the rest that you can get in before they vote on this particular issue on December 14th. We saved the internet before, when there was a Republican in charge, Tom Wheeler. There's another Republican in charge, but it's more of an uphill battle because this one really doesn't care what you think. But that does not mean that we shouldn't fight like hell. Battleforthenet.com, FCC.gov. Call your senators. Call the White House. Even if they won't take your freaking call, just hammer them. But be nice and don't be freaking racist. We won the internet before and we can absolutely win it again. I believe we can do this. Go forth, my children. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here on our Fire You Can't Put Out. Our official home is tfycpo.podbean.com. Like us at facebook.com/tfycpo. You can listen on the go. Just download the Podbean app at the iTunes Store or at the Google Play Store for Android users. Individual episodes are available for download at the iTunes Store. Just search for The Fire You Can't Put Out there. You can also subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Starting fires and busting liars here on TFYCPO. Questions, comments, hate mail, or just a general statement or inquiry, you can email us at tfycpo@gmail.com. We work hard to not only inform and entertain, but also to keep an open dialogue with our growing listener base. Still feel free to reach out to us. And as always, thank you for listening. We are the fire you can't put out, and we will prevail. Rejecting austerity in favor of prosperity. Special thanks to Kevin for producing, and thanks to you for listening. This is Melvin signing off. And now that I've woken you up, good morning.